And most of today's paper is made from wood, right? Trees. And while much of it is being recycled, there's a big drive towards that. We're still reliant on plantations to supply the raw materials. And you know the role that a lot of these plantations play when it comes to putting oxygen back into the system. So it would be nice if we can leave some of those trees alone, wouldn't it? Well, paper wasn't always made from wood, by the way. For centuries, paper was actually made from linen, cotton, hemp, especially the hemp rag fibers that they used to use, until the Industrial Revolution of the 19th century saw paper manufacturers turning to wood. But as it turned out, the paper made from wood back then was reliant on acid as part of the manufacturing process and would slowly turn to dust, you know, as has been evident. I mean, if you've just looked, if you're one of those people looking at history, looking at documents, if one looks at the world's libraries, for example, you'd see the effect of that acid. You might have found this to be true in your older books that you might have or might not have, if they've fallen by the wayside. So while most manufacturers today have found a way to make acid-free paper, the industry is still quite toxic in nature. But two young men in Australia, John C. and Kevin Garcia, they discovered a possible solution while they were on holiday in Taiwan. I mean, that's how it normally happens, doesn't it? I mean, you're ambling around doing your thing, and eventually it hits you like a stone on the head. Pardon the pun. A very good morning to John C., co-founder and co-CEO at Cost Stone Paper, and Kevin Garcia as well, co-founder and co-CEO at Cost Stone Paper. Good to have you both on the show.
Good morning. Good to chat to you.
Wonderful. Hi, Kino.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hope you're well.
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. I'm even better now that I hear we don't have to kill so many trees.
No, not at all. I think it's always exciting to hear these new advancements. I was actually born in South Africa, so this was always an interesting time to call. So
I can hear that. I was listening to you and I'm going, hold on, this dude's got some South African thing going on there.
Well, there you go.
So when we think about, let's not even talk about the process just yet. My first question is about process. I want to talk about your holiday and that tipping point. So I don't know, John, shall we start with you?
Yeah, sure. So we were just visiting Taiwan. It's one of those countries that you hear a lot about, but you never really end up going there unless you put your mind to it. So we were both in Singapore at the time, and a lot of countries are close by. So we thought, you know, we've been to Philippines and Thailand, Indonesia, but we've never actually checked out Taiwan. Why don't we go there and check it out? It looked good. The food looked good. So we thought we'd go over there. And that's kind of where we stumbled across this new material.
So you stumbled upon the new material. And if you can, Kevin, give us more detail about how you managed to get into the conversation around that. You stumbled into this material. Where was it? Had someone already used this particular process that you're using? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So although we were in Taiwan, I was aware that there was this material called stone paper, and I had come across a sample before. And we knew where this factory was, and I thought, well, why don't we go check it out? They're mainly producing this paper for packaging and food manufacturing. Because of its waterproof properties, it can be frozen, stored in cold temperatures. And obviously it's made from, you know, calcium carbonate, which is really interesting. Mm. So because I've got a science background, I thought that was, you know, that really intrigued me at the time. So we took a dive. We called up the president of this factory, and we gave him, you know, a quick chat, and we said, you know, we're interested in doing something with this material, and we want to market this to the consumers, and we've got an idea that we want to turn this into everyday products that people can use and love. And so we kind of, that was really the starting point for this, and it's been nonstop ever since.
So if one thinks of stone, I mean, the one thing you know, stone, and there's not a D added to that. So if you think of stone, you think of something which is extremely rigid, very hard, not flexible like paper, although some would argue a tree is pretty rigid too. So how exactly do you make paper out of stone? Let's talk a little about the process that they were using.
Sure. So most people do get a little confused or perplexed when they hear paper made from stone, like you said. And what we do, we actually use recycled calcium carbonate and limestone. So all nearby quarries that are found nearby the factory in Taiwan, so quarries, building industries, construction waste, all leftover limestone and calcium carbonate we gather. It's then taken to the nearby factory. It's ground down to a fine powder, so it's almost like a chalk. So when you think of calcium carbonate, it's basically one of the most abundant resources available on the planet. Something like 4% of the Earth's crust is calcium carbonate. Wow. So almost all the coral we use, all the chalk we use, it's made of this substance. So we then, or the factory that we partner with, will take all that calcium carbonate. We mix a non-toxic HDPE resin, so a very small portion of that, to bind the particles of the chalk together. Mm-hmm. That is then rolled and stretched thousands of times to produce a perfect waterproof paper that doesn't use any trees.
Oh, wow. So the process that you currently use to create the paper that you're in, we'll talk about what constitutes paper and where it can be used. We'll get there. But if one looks at the process that you use, how different is that from, you know, the company that you stumbled upon, or at least the paper, and then the company that you stumbled upon when you were in Taiwan?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a whole lot of processes and applications that can be applied to this material. Right. So different thicknesses, different coatings applied to the outside. These different coatings and different ways that they are produced allow it to be molded, I guess, into different products for use. So for us, we knew we wanted to make high-end stationery. That was the first point of call. Mm-hmm. And in order for us to do that, we knew that the paper needed a special coating to absorb ink, to absorb glues, to absorb, you know, act in a certain way that could allow the paper to be bound and stitched. So there's all these certain points that we had to take into consideration when making this into something that we wanted to use for our products. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, we can, you know, get paper that's made from stone, and then we can determine how we want to, I guess, convert that into a product, whether that be printer paper for the global market, or whether it's stationery for the higher end sort of products, or whether it's packaging or mailers. They all have their own sort of application and end product.
I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. I was asking, when you mentioned it was waterproof, I was thinking to myself, well, that's not going to work very well with my printer, you know, because you'd need to. So you actually, and you've answered the question right, you've got to coat this so that the ink can actually be absorbed. So can I use this as stationery, you know, for everyday office use?
Absolutely. That's the whole goal of what we're trying to achieve. So, yes, so that is our primary product is office stationery. Mm. We now sell over to 81 countries globally. Majority of our market share is in the US and steadily growing, you know, in Europe. Now we've just opened up a third warehouse to allocate to those regions. But, yeah, absolutely. That's really our bread and butter is our you know, stationery for the office and home use and notebooks. Yeah.
Now, if one looks at, you know, if one looks at your income statements, etc., your cost of sales, of course, compared to traditional companies that use trees to make the paper, is it significantly higher to be able to produce the type of paper that you now have out there?
Yeah. So as you know, with new technologies, there's always a higher priced, you know, markup on these things. And that's usually because the economy of scale, we've only got limited resources in production. I wouldn't say it's significantly more expensive, but yes, it is at this time a little bit more expensive, but nothing to that would throw most buyers off in terms of the final product. So you're looking at, I'd say, 20% at this stage.
Well, I mean, if you look at the marketing value a business can get out of this, right.
Yeah.
And you compare that to the whatever, minuscule, maybe not that minuscule extra cost. Your marketing value is always going to outweigh that additional cost. And eventually you'll get to a point once you reach critical mass where you can bring the cost of that down significantly. So it certainly seems like a formidable product. We'll continue chatting to you. John C., co-founder and co-CEO of Cost Stone Paper, as is Kevin Garcia. You're listening to them this morning. We are chatting about paper made out of stone, limestone. And when I think of limestone, I'm thinking Robben Island. I doubt somehow that someone's going to allow a factory over there. But we'll continue chatting to them about this amazing business that they have next. Indeed, it isn't tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. It is today. And what a wonderful business, Cost Stone Paper. John C. was, you know, and Kevin on holiday in Taiwan, and you see this paper, and yes, it is paper. Someone tells you it's made out of limestone and some other very fancy stuff, and you go, "Ooh, hold on, here's a great business idea," and that's exactly what's happened. They now distribute this paper, which doesn't kill any plantations, no trees. It's a wonderful story, globally, to about 80 different destinations. And it's just absolutely phenomenal to see what innovation can do. And man, if there's one thing that we need in this world to help save the planet, it's innovation. And this certainly makes a lot of sense. So just getting back to your story, it's one thing, and welcome back once again, John and Kevin. It's one thing to have this great idea. It's another thing to actually make it work and get people to take you seriously about the product in the first place. So let's, baby John, you want to pick up on this one? You want to take us through that particular journey? It's one thing to go, "Hey, we can make this," but are you interested? You know, what was the take up like?
Yeah. Well, we knew that people don't just buy things because they're sustainable or they're better for the environment or this or that. People buy things because they're great products. Yeah. So we knew from day one we had to make a great product, something that was beautiful, something that was distinct. And so for us, it's really about creating a great product first. And then the customers will find out more about our story and our mission and where we come from. So that's kind of how we started our brand in a nutshell. And we've been very fortunate that, you know, over 80,000 customers worldwide have now adopted our products. And we're also seeing a lot of offices want to become more eco-friendly. So Facebook and Dermalogica. We're also in the goodie bag for the official TED Talks main event in Vancouver this year. Oh, wow. So we're seeing a big shift in the way that companies also perceive sustainability and ways that they can increase that.
So your production, where is your production mainly done? Is it you know, at home? Are you doing it in Taiwan? Where's most of it based?
I wish it was at home. It'd be much easier, that's for sure. Yeah, so for us, we've got a number of primary facilities. The main facility we use for the paper production is in Taiwan. So we produce the raw paper, like we said before, and yes, then we send that off to converters. We've got a number of converters as well. So right. We've got one near the factory in Taipei, and then we've also now shifted to upscale our production in China as well, just because of the, you know, the ability to produce at such, you know, more economical numbers that make sense for us. So at the moment, yeah, those are our two main facilities. We are looking at also the US at this stage. So we're in talks now with locking in, you know, some distribution deals to penetrate, you know, into that US market.
Well, it is a phenomenal business. Are you doing any work on the African continent?
I feel I almost have a duty to, because I was born there. And so we do have a number of South African customers. So there is definitely a market there. It's just something that we will, I think, aim for maybe in the next financial year, moving forward into the future.
Ah, brilliant. Now, John, you were saying you know, people won't buy it because it's not, won't necessarily buy it because it's sustainable and all the other things. And I agree with that. Because someone who comes with this marketing spiel, they tell you, oh, well, you know, it's great for the environment. And quite frankly, a lot of people don't give a hoot unless the product in and of itself is a great one. But what makes your product great then? You know, when compared to other pieces of paper that people can use?
Well, a lot of thought, I think has gone into our products, and that's kind of one of the driving principles of our company, is to create products with thought. So, you know, for example, for the past year or so, we have been working on our new products and upgrading everything, you know, in the factory to make it a really quality product. You know, we could start with the properties. You know, being waterproof is, I mean, that's kind of what got me. That's really what piqued my interest, you know, how can you have paper that's waterproof? But that's really a fantastic property. It's also tear resistant. So it can tear, but it's a little bit more difficult to tear. For me personally, writing on it feels like you're writing on velvet. It's very smooth. It is very, very bright as well. So it's actually an amazing writing experience. That's kind of how I fell in love with the business and with the product.
You know, as a business person as well, other than just being a talk show host, you put your documents together and you hand over packs to people. And when someone gives you a pack of documents that feel as if it was printed on toilet paper, I mean, there is a certain human reaction to that. So I don't think one, and not that you are or anybody else is necessarily, I think one shouldn't discount the quality of a piece of paper, especially when it comes to business, especially when it comes to trying to sell your unique value proposition. That is an intrinsic part of it, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's Kevin here. I'll just tune in on that one.
Go for it.
I think, yeah, you're absolutely right there. It's by far an intrinsic, you know, reason. When we get people that feel our paper, because it's so tactile, they fall in love with it instantly. Yes, it might be slightly heavier, but that kind of brings with it a sense of luxury.
Yes.
And but also the feeling, the actual feeling of that soft, as John said, velvety touch. Yeah. It's almost something that's very new to most people. And I think what we'll do, we'll send you some notebooks and some paper and you can see for yourself.
That'll be awesome. I mean, you know, being heavy is not a bad thing, hey? If I did a 30-page business plan or someone else hands in a 30-page business plan on lighter paper and I put in a 15-page business plan using your paper, you know what? weight does matter. I've got Alison in Simonstown who's given us a call. Alison, a very good morning to you. I see you've got a book that's printed on stone paper. Tell me more.
I am. I was so excited to get this for my birthday. When I was coming home now and listening to you, I literally rushed home and flew up the stairs just to get to check the book. Anyway, it's A Feast from Nature, Food Cultures of the First Humans on the Planet Earth by, you know, Khoekhoen by Renata Kutsia. And it says printed and bound by Paper Pro Enterprises, Taiwan, first South African publication, printed on stone paper, made from construction waste and or stone without using water or cellulose.
Wow.
It is 100% recyclable. And then there's a contact.
Wonderful stuff there. Well, Alison, thank you so much for giving us an insight. And to John and to Kevin, what a pleasure. I hope that we'll see you in studio sometime with some of these products, because you need to come to South Africa in full force in the next financial year.
I think so.
Are you going to invest, you know, because we will.
I'm happy to. We can talk about it. I'm not joking. but to both of you, thank you so much. And thank you for going on holiday to Taiwan, by the way.
No problem. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Do you have a website?
We do. It's caststonepaper.com. You can either throw that into Google or put that into your URL.
Lovely
and
stuff.
You'll see a lot of our products there.
Lovely stuff indeed. So that's John C. and Kevin Gossier, and they are the co-CEOs, co-founders of Cast Stone Paper.